All right, let's actually open up with a word of prayer before we get into the start of chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, really continuing the same theme or mode that we've been kind of looking at in the last few weeks as we finished up chapter 2, you know, the persecution that the Thessalonians are going through, and of course, Paul's concern for them as he doesn't want that to be labor in vain. That's what we talked about last week, all the investment that he's put in them. He wants to be able to see them standing at the judgment seat of Christ, that they're going to be rewarded because they continue to press toward the mark, so to speak, as we've seen in Philippians chapter 3 and some time ago when we studied that through. But I want to have a word of prayer and really kind of, again, just ask God to really bless what we're going to be looking at today, and just really be have a heart and mind prepared for what we're going to see. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I do thank you and praise you again for the day. Thank you for all that you do. I thank you for this book. I can't think of a better place to be as we've been going through this year, 1 Thessalonians, and just looking at everything that we've been seeing so far in these first couple of chapters. And as we focus on a vision this year of being able to share the truth of the Word of God, to preach the Word, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And we've been looking at that, and it's more than just thinking about, obviously, preaching from a pulpit or in front of a whole group of people. It's a matter of being able to share one-on-one the things that you have shown us and laid in our heart, the things that have worked in our lives, that you have shown yourself strong and true. And Lord, even today, we will see that same thing, and it's so important as we deal with trials, as we deal with sufferings, we all go through hard times. We know the trials and the things that we've all been through in this last year, and with COVID and again coming out of that this year, there's still many struggles and things that are going on. Lord, we need to hear your word. We need to be able to apply the word of God to our lives, and again, to be able to turn around and to be able to share that with others. Too often, there's so many Christians that do not continue their walk with the Lord because of the spiritual warfare that's going on, and where we see where there is suffering and persecution, as well as we'll see there's deception that takes place, and people get taken out of their walk with the Lord because of those things. So, Lord, it's important for us to understand what we're going to see here today. So help us to have our hearts and minds open to the truth of your word as we look at the first three verses of this chapter, and as we see really how Paul sends Timothy or Timotheus to commission him to be able to help the Thessalonians in their time of suffering, as well as understanding the importance of, yeah, we're going to go through afflictions, but being able to stand strong through them. So Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us to apply them to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look right into this. I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first three verses, and then we'll come back and start going through it as we normally do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Now, when we look at these three verses, I mean, obviously, there's a number of things that are going on, things that we need to look at. But when we look at verse 3, we see that probably that last phrase we're not too happy about saying in the Word of God, where it talks about how we are appointed unto afflictions. As believers in Christ, that is something that we are going to go through, and we can't avoid it. Living in this world that's under sin, you know, the things that take place in our country, in our city, and so forth, those things are going to happen because of the sinful nature of man. We're going to go through some things, and then we've already seen, as we stand for the Lord, as we stand on His Word and seek to be used of Him, we're definitely going to go through some trials and persecutions for doing that. And we should know these things, as the Word of God says there. And that's why I titled this message really talking about comfort their faith. I mean, that's what Paul is concerned. He wants to continue to see them established and their faith comforted, and that's why he's going to end up sending Timothy to do that. Now, let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 3 and start coming through this. It says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." So, remember that this is a ministry team that we have here that dealt with the Thessalonians. It was Paul, Silas, and Timotheus. And so the three of them work together to be able to minister to the Thessalonians, to be able to establish that church. We go back to Acts chapter 17. We've done that in the past this year and saw where that church has been established. And, of course, the persecutions and everything they go through even in those 3 weeks' time. But at this particular point that they are writing this letter, obviously they're in Athens, Greece. And so what you have here is that Paul is concerned about their persecution that they're going through. He's concerned. Remember last week we talked about how his desire is to see them as his crown, his glory, his crown of rejoicing at the judgment seat of Christ. And he wants to make sure that that is going to continue to be the case and not for them to succumb to the trials and the sufferings that they're going through. So he thought it good to be left alone at Athens. Remember, Paul has a desire to come to them, but Satan hindered. I want you to just go back to chapter 2 and review that in verses 17 and 18. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17, it says this, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Again, we talked about there's a real spiritual warfare that's going on. Satan is out there to hinder. He doesn't want people to know the truth. And once they've accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, he definitely doesn't want them to grow in that. So they turn around and reach other people for Christ. So Satan hindered Paul to be able to come to Thessalonians at that particular time. And so when Paul had enough, and it's like, I can't take it anymore, I have got to find out how they're doing. Obviously, at this time, they didn't have telephones. They didn't have, the internet. They didn't have FaceTime. They didn't have anything like that to be able to, to be able to, even at a distance, to be able to see how they were doing. And so what does Paul do? He says, you know what? Silas and I are going to stay here at Athens, continue to work here. Timothy, we want to send you. And when you look at this, again, as we jump down into verse 2, so 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, it says, "And sent Timothy," yes, or Timothy, he's our brother and minister of God. He serves God, ministers to God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Timothy is somebody that is working with us in ministry. Now, we've already seen that we understand that Timothy is the spiritual son of Paul. Paul discipled Timothy and obviously schooled him in the ways of the gospel of grace and ministered to and along with him on this second missionary journey, as we see. In Acts chapter 15 is really, or actually 16 is where it starts, when we see Timothy joining up with Paul. But he's somebody that Paul can depend on, all right? He's a brother. Obviously, he's saved. He's a brother in Christ. He's a minister of God. He himself is serving God, ministering the truth of the Word of God to others. He's a fellow laborer. They work together to be able to work in ministry. And laborer means to work. Ministry takes work. We understand that. When you talk about working in people's lives to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. But this is not the first time that Paul has sent Timothy on a mission, something like this. I actually want you to go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is where we need to stop off and see where Paul dispatches Timothy to Corinth, because Corinth has some issues. As we've seen before, that in every chapter, Paul is dealing with some problem that the Corinthians were dealing with, and Paul had to correct them and admonish them in the Word of God. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see where Paul is sending Timothy to Corinth for, in a sense, to remind the Corinthians of Paul's ways in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says this, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church." Paul didn't teach anything different when he was with the churches of Galatia. It's not like he taught one thing there and taught something else in 1 Corinthians, or taught something different in Thessalonica. He taught the same thing everywhere because it's the same gospel of grace. And he dispatched Timothy because, again, Timothy understood. He was Paul's son in the faith, as we see here, beloved son, and he was able to remind the Corinthians of Paul's ways in the Lord. Again, it's not just Paul's ways and how Paul did things and what was great for the Apostle Paul. It's a matter of Paul's ways in Christ, all right? That which is spiritual. And so Timothy was able to say, hey, This is what Paul taught you, Corinthians. This is what Paul has shared with you. In the gospel of grace, this is a communication of the very things that the Lord taught Paul. I'm giving it and reminding you of that as well. So it's almost like when you heard Timothy preaching, it was like saying the same thing as Paul preaching. They were one and the same because they were like-minded according to the truth of the Word of God. And obviously, as we see here in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, he's trustworthy. Paul had no doubt that Timothy would be able to do the job that he's commissioned him to do when it comes to Corinth, as well as we're seeing here in Thessalonica. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, again in verse 2. It says this, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So there's his commission that he has here. Timothy's commission is twofold. One, he wants to continue to have the Thessalonians established in their faith. And number two, he wants to have them comforted in their faith. That was the reason, the twofold reason, that Paul is sending Timothy to the Thessalonians, because they're going through this persecution. We've seen that in the latter part of chapter 2 of this book, to where, again, they suffered like things of their own countrymen, just like the church in Judea or Jerusalem did of the Jews and so forth, and how they persecuted Christ. I mean, the Thessalonians was going through all that. And so Paul's concern is, you know what? We need to make sure that they're still established in their faith and that they need comfort in their faith. Now, before we deal with this twofold aspect of Timothy's commission here to the Thessalonians, I want to remind you of, again, our vision this year. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. And we talked about that even as I prayed. It's not a matter of just being in a pulpit or some large group of people or even a small group of people, whatever. Just even one-on-one. You have the opportunity, an open door, to share the truth of the Word of God. That's what we need to do. And we think about it, it's like the Thessalonians, what's the context? They are going through a tough time. They're going through persecution. They're going through trials and tribulations. And that can tend to really maybe wreak some havoc on your faith as they're not staying strong, as they're not staying in the Word of God. There are people in your life, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your families, whether it's people in your neighborhood, that are going through a tough time today. And they really need you to share with them the truth of the Word of God to be able to establish them in their relationship with the Lord, to be able to comfort their faith. Maybe they're not as strong as you in their faith and their walk with the Lord. And they need that help. That's why you are in their life. That's why God has placed them in your life, to be able to sit down and share with them, here, let me establish you more, get you more grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Here, let me share this reference or this verse with you, or how God used this in my life to be able to comfort you in your faith, to be able to continue on. As I prayed, and I'll say it again, a lot of times why Christians stop their walk with the Lord, it's because of the spiritual battle that's going on. Satan is hindering. And usually how Satan hinders is going to be two things. Literally, persecution and trials and tribulations like we're dealing with now, and also be deception. But there's a lot of deception that are out there. There's a lot of Christians, again, go to the wayside because they're involved in a church or some doctrine, some false doctrine that'll take them out. And so it's important that we understand this so that we can be like a Timothy to be able to share with people the Word of God that He has given us to help establish them in their faith and to help comfort them in their faith. Now let's look at that. Being established in the faith. You see, for Paul, does the same thing in his desire for the Romans. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 1 real quick. Romans chapter 1, we're going to look down in verses 11 and 12. And really, pretty much see the same thing like we're seeing here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Romans chapter 1, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. As Paul normally does at the beginning of these letters and the introduction and laying things out, he really gives his desire that he wants to come to Rome for this very purpose. It says this, Romans chapter 1, verse 11. "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." And so you even see in verse 12 where Paul talked about where he is going to derive some comfort from them by that mutual faith. It's not a matter of just Paul ministering to the Romans It's also the Romans being able to minister to Paul. And that's something that I also share with you guys, and that's why I enjoy our Wednesdays, because it's not a matter of just me getting up and preaching and teaching another message or something like that during the week. It's a matter of all of us that are here that we're sharing what God has laid on our hearts, because you know what? It's a mutual sharing of faith. That hopefully the things that the Lord shows me will give you some comfort and establish you in your faith more, but also the things that you share in your walk with the Lord can also establish me in my faith and comfort me in my faith. It's a mutual thing that's going on here. So literally the same thing that Paul has Timothy doing for the Thessalonians, we see Paul himself doing that far as the Romans are concerned. Now let's also go over to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look down at verses 6 and actually read through verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Now this is important because I talk about how Christians fall by the wayside because of either some sort of persecution that's going on and they're not established in the faith and comforted, but also deception. And we see this in the book of Colossians. Paul was concerned about the church. They were doing well. There's a lot of good things that are happening in this church. But when you read through that, through this book, you'll see that they were also inundated by false teachers that are coming in and dealing with the philosophies of this world. And so Paul is encouraging them again, the same thing, to be established or established in their faith. It says this in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him." How's that? "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, the Colossians, they've been taught. They've been discipled. All right? And so it's like, hey, you need to continue to walk, just as you received the Lord, all right, which is by faith. It says, I want you to continue to walk in that, but be rooted and built up in him. How? Established in the faith. And how do we grow in our faith, by the way? Remember? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. One of our theme verses here for Faith Bible Church. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if somebody's going to be established in their faith and grow in their faith, they need to hear the Word of God. And how can they hear the Word of God if somebody's not what? Preaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. Sharing the Word of God. If you want your neighbor, or you want your coworker, or you want your family member, whatever it is, to be able to be established in the faith, to be able to be rooted, to be able to ground it in it, then we need to make sure that they hear the Word of God so they have the opportunity to grow in that, to be established in their faith. Now, you're sitting in Colossians chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse 8, because here's the warning that Paul gives. This is why it's so important to be rooted and grounded in the faith. Verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And unfortunately, there's too much of that in churches today. Instead of the solid teaching of the Word of God, and there's the philosophy of the world. Let's make the church more like the world to be able to try to attract people to get them in so they feel comfortable. None of us should ever really feel like, in a sense, comfortable. I understand. It should be a church that you obviously grow in and enjoy and fellowship and so forth and all that. But it's not some. It shouldn't be a place where you're just totally at ease and comfortable and you're just cruising on your relationship with the Lord. All right? There should be some conviction in the preaching and teaching that's going on. I know, again, for me, it's like, I study a message, I was like, man, I got to make sure this is hitting me, and it needs to hit me. Start with me. All right? It's like, I got to make sure that I'm doing what the Word of God says here. All right? I have no right to get up and be preaching and teaching anything. But, again, as you look at this, it's like, it's so important to have the truth of the Word of God going out because there's so much deception that is out there. Matter of fact, that is one of the key things that Jesus Christ says. If you want to know what it's like when I come back, before I come back, he says, hey, make sure you don't get deceived. Paul says the same thing in dealing with us before, you know, dealing with our doctrine before coming to the judgment seat of Christ. Over and over again, it says what? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. So many Christians fall by the wayside because of persecution and deception. And that's why it's so important that we as believers in Christ, we got to make sure that not only are we growing in our faith, but that we're turning around and sharing that truth with others. We cannot be afraid to say the truth of the Word of God, to be able to sit down with somebody and say, hey, let me help you out here. Alright? Again, as you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I just want to read the verse again, verse 2. It says, and sent Timothy as our brother, a minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So grammatically speaking, there's two things about their faith that need to happen. They need to be established, they need to grow in that, be grounded in it, but also to be comforted. Comfort. I want you to go back to Romans, but this time, chapter 15. I know you guys are probably familiar with this reference. We used it as part of one of our visions that we had a number of years ago when we were actually going through the book of Job. But I want you to go to Romans chapter 15, and we're just going to look down in verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. Talk about comfort in their faith. It says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and notice comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul at that time, he's saying the things that were written aforetime. So that's all the Old Testament, everything that was written aforetime, written for this purpose, for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The source of the comfort is the Scriptures, the Word of God. Comfort of the Scriptures. That's grammatically what's been said there. It's like if I want to get comfort in what I am going through, then I got to spend time in the Scriptures. The Word of God, everything that was written aforetime. Well, for us, that's all 66 books of the Bible. We have the completed Word of God. We have no excuse. We know how the thing is going to end. We really shouldn't be surprised by what we're seeing going on in our country and the world today. We shouldn't be surprised at all because it's all right here in the Word of God. And so really that should give us comfort because, as we're going to see a little bit later, we have the victory in Christ. No matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter what comes our way, we have victory in Christ. We're on the winning team. We don't have to worry about how this whole thing is going to outcome. We know what's going to happen. That should give us comfort as we spend time in the Scriptures. I'll give you another reference, which you're, again, familiar with because this is part of our, again, as we went through Job, our theme verses for that and dealing with comfort. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look down in verses 3 and 4. And again, it's interesting. It's like it blows my mind how God just weaves everything together. His providence. Again, it blows my mind. I mean, when we went through the book of Job some years ago now, it's been a few years that we've done that, I wasn't thinking at that time that in 2021 we'll be talking about a vision as far as preaching the Word of God. And literally, that vision of being a comfort and being able to comfort people and the trials and tribulations that they go through really match up nicely to our vision this year of preaching the Word, specifically as this message that we're talking about. All right? And being able to get them established in the faith and comfort in their faith as they're going through trials and tribulations. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There, understand this. If I didn't say it a few years ago, I'm saying it now. There is not a trial or tribulation or affliction or a suffering or a bad day that can happen in your life that God does not have the comfort for to deal with it. He's the God of all comfort. He's going to comfort us by His Scriptures, by the Word of God, but He Himself is the God of all comfort. So whatever bad thing that's going to happen or whatever trial or tribulation that maybe can happen this week, hopefully it won't, but if it does, rest assured that God has the comfort to be able to deal with it. He says, again, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us, notice, in all our tribulation. Not some, not the majority, not what 50% of it. All of it. All of it. There's not anything, again, that can happen in our life that God doesn't have the comfort for us to be able to deal with. Who comforts us in all our tribulations. Notice this, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You understand what that verse is saying? It is really a shame for us. It is bad on us if we take the comfort that God gives us and just keep it for ourselves. The God of all comfort that will comfort us in all our tribulations. If we just keep it to ourselves, that's shame on us. That's greedy on us. God's comfort is not just meant to comfort us. It's also meant for us to take that very same comfort that God has given us in whatever tribulation it is, to be able to turn around and comfort them that are going through any trouble. No matter what it is. If somebody's having problems and dealing with whatever, bills, physical issues, spiritual issues, obviously, whatever the case is, we should be able to take the comfort that God has given us through His Word and be able to share with somebody, hey, let me share it with you when I was going through a tough time. I want to show you how God comforted me and how He answered my prayer. And He really gave me this verse at a much needed time. This just came to mind. When I put a message together, I don't necessarily... Sometimes I say, okay, there is this example in my life that I want to lay out, or this illustration, or this example, that sort of thing. But normally I don't. Normally I don't. Lay out the Word of God, cross-reference and so forth, study it every day, that sort of thing, and whatever examples come to mind is whatever examples come to mind. But recently I've been reading through the Bible, and I've been in Jeremiah, and there's something that came up recently that I'm reminded of this particular time of my life. I was at UMKC, all right, and so going to school, married at the time as well. Trish and I didn't have a lot of money at all, and then there's some bills that we needed to get paid, and we really didn't have a lot of finances to be able to pay for those things. And I remember having to borrow some money from my parents and from my brother. I mean, that's a kind of a humiliating thing to have to deal with. And I remember being in the library at the school and just studying and things like that, but I took some time out to read my Bible. It had to have been my sophomore year, maybe my junior year, something like that. And I remember reading in the life of Abraham. And when God is telling Abraham, that you're going to have a son by Sarah. And both of them were well beyond the age of being able to have kids. And Sarah laughed about it and so forth and so on, but the question that just stood out in my mind as I'm reading this story was this question. The Lord said to them, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I sat there in the library, the campus of UMKC, and it just hit me, and I just thought about it over and over again, and the answer is obviously no. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And you see that same thing in the book of Jeremiah. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And it's like the Lord provided, and I was able to pay my brother and my parents back and so forth and so on, and we're on our way. That sort of thing. But there's nothing too hard for the Lord. He is able to provide. And there are things I know in your life that that God has answered. He's given you His Word, and He has gotten you through something. And don't you think there's a co-worker that needs to hear that? That needs that comfort, that needs that to be established him in the faith. You have things in your life that you know that God has come through in a mighty way. And you have the ability and the power through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to sit down and say, hey, here is how God comforted me. And the same God that comforted me is able, willing, and ready to comfort you. Just give him a chance. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about preach the Word. Share the Word of God. This is what we're talking about this year when people need to hear, thus saith the Lord. Because this is the truth. This has the answers. It's never been wrong. And there's too little of the Word of God that's being declared these days. We've got philosophies. We've got the ways of the world. Or we just sit silent, don't do, say anything. And people are still in their misery. People don't even know better. They don't know what the truth is because they're not hearing the truth. And if they're not hearing the truth, then why not? That comes back to us as believers in Christ. How come we're not speaking the truth? How come we're not preaching the word? How come we're not sharing the comfort that God has given us? Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again from verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And since Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. That was the commission that Paul gave to Timothy in getting to Thessalonica. And it's so important for that commission to be accomplished. And we're going to see that as we continue to come through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll see the results of Timothy's ministry and the report that he's going to be able to give back to Paul and Silas for his time in Thessalonica. But it is so important to share the truth of the Word of God, to preach the Word, to be able to establish people in their faith and to comfort them in their faith, especially going through trials and tribulations, because of the very next verse, verse 3, is what it says there. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Now remember, they're going through some tough things. There's some things that they're not for sure if they're going to live. All right? I mean, there's some serious persecutions that are going on at that time. And Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So let's look at the first half of verse 3 there. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. I'm telling you, Christians are moved by the afflictions that they go through. Why? Because they're not established and they're not comforted in their faith. Whether it's the church, whether it's the pastors, whether it's they themselves refusing to actually get into the Word of God, they're not established in their faith. They're not comforted in their faith. For whatever reasons, they decide maybe it's just not for them. I don't know. Maybe they're just like, oh, I get saved and that's it. That's all I got to worry about. But yet, they don't understand the reality of living the Christian life in every aspect of your life. It's not that Jesus Christ is something that I do. It's what we're supposed to be. In other words, it's not just some activity or some part of our life. That's what I want to say. He is our life. That's what Colossians chapter 3 talks about. He is our life. But there's too many Christians that just treat church or the Bible as something that is a part of their life when they have time to do it. Well, there's no wonder they're not established in the faith. There's no wonder they don't get any comfort. It's no wonder that they're really not for sure if God is real and the power of God real in their life. He should be our life. After all, He died for us. He was buried and resurrected the third day. And the power of the resurrection can be in our lives. But it's a matter of allowing the Word of God to be in us, to be established and to be comforted. But it says there again that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Let's look at a couple things here. I want you to go back to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and we're going to pick it up in verse 20. I'm reading down through verse 24. The context of this is where Paul is dealing, and he's in the church city of Ephesus and dealing with the leaders of Ephesus at that time, and again, a place of a lot of spiritual warfare, and he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And he's been warned of God and that, you know, you go to Jerusalem, there's going to be bonds and afflictions waiting for you. It's not going to go well when you go to Jerusalem. But Paul is determined to go there anyway. Notice this, Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 20. It says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in everything, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So everywhere he's going, as he's making his trek to Jerusalem, he's reminded over and over again that bonds and afflictions are going to be waiting for him when he goes to Jerusalem. Now, he says this in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, the ministry that the Lord has given me, this gospel of grace, I'm going to testify, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to complete it. I have a job to do, I have a course to complete, I'm going to complete that course. And nothing is going to move me from doing that. Nothing is going to stop me from doing that. So bonds and afflictions abide me at Jerusalem, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm still going to do the ministry that God has given me to do, and I'm not going to let anything or anyone stop me or move me from doing that. Now, is that the same mindset that we have? We're supposed to follow Paul like Paul followed Christ. We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 there. We know that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, the things that we have learned and received and heard and seen in Paul, we're supposed to do. Do! So, as we've already seen, even I think last week, you know, we have this dispensation of gospel committed unto us. We have a course, we have a plan that God has laid out for our lives. On my message on racism a few weeks ago, talking about God has a plan for everybody, starting with being in Christ. Paul says, nothing is going to move me or stop me from doing what God has given me to do. There are people that need to be reached with the truth of the gospel. There are people that need to be preached to. There's people that I need to share the truth of the Word of God. I need to get them established in the faith. I need to have them comforted in the faith. I need to see them growing in their walk and relationship with the Lord. There's too much tribulation out there. There's too much persecution out there. There's too much deception that is out there. I need to do everything I can so people are grounded in the truth, and I am not going to let anything or anyone stop me. This is the same Paul in Acts chapter 14 where they threw him out of the city, stoned him, left him for dead. What did he do? Get back up and kept on preaching. Is that our mindset? Is that our mindset? I say this a lot. A lot of times the reason that Christianity is in the shape that it is in today is not because of the world's fault. It's not because of Satan's fault. It's because of our fault. We don't do what the Word of God tells us to do. It's been like one of the number one things that I saw in my reading last night. I read 8 different chapters in Jeremiah. And the biggest thing I came up with last night is people simply don't want to obey the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to obey. God says, this is what's going to happen. If you obey me, you'll have this, this, that, and the other. If you disobey me, then all this bad stuff's going to happen. Just obey. Obey. The reason why Christianity is in the shape it's in today is because we don't obey. What has God given us to do? Share the Word with the people that are in your life. That's why you're at the job that you're at. That's why you are in the community that you're in. That's why you're at the workplace, wherever it is. That's why God brings different people in your life. He just wants you to simply share the truth with them. Live it, speak it. Show them how to have a walking relationship. Show them how they can have the same comfort. Don't let anything move you from doing that. There are too many baby Christians that get moved, that stop. Why? Because we're not doing our job. We're not getting them grounded in the Word. And again, it's not just our responsibility. It is that person's responsibility to want to grow, want to learn, want to listen. I get that. I get that. But if we don't even give them the chance to, because we're too scared, too busy, it's somebody else's job to be able to speak the Word of God to them, then that's on us. That's on us. We saw that last week. The dispensation of the gospel is committed to us. All right, we're going to be held accountable for that. But you see here in Acts 20 and 24, no matter the persecution, nothing was going to move or stop Paul from doing what God had asked him to do. It's not the only place. I think I already made a reference to it, but go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look down in the last two verses of this chapter, verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, as you make your way there, this is the greatest chapter in talking about the doctrine of the resurrection and Paul laying out how he's an apostle, one born at a due time. He's an apostle of the Gentiles. So Jesus Christ was last seen of the apostle Paul and laying things out. But notice what he says here at the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any victory in anything else. We're not going to have victory within ourselves or anything else. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that victory in Him. So verse 58 says this, therefore, since we have victory in Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The things that you're doing in Him is not in vain. You'll be rewarded. We talked about that last week. Right? As far as the precious stones, as far as the crown, the joy, what Paul was talking about last week, yeah, that depends on the person continuing to strive themselves and stand at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. But we are rewarded. Gold and silver, that's our personal relationship with the Lord, loving Him, doing what He's asked to do, and the silver is sharing the truth of the Word of God. That's not in vain. That will never be in vain. We will be rewarded for that. So that's why we need to be steadfast, unmovable. Nobody can push us out of the way. I was in karate, and when I first started really taking karate and having that kibudachi, that horse stance that you stand in, the strong stance to the side, and you'd have the sensei come around and push on you to see if your stance would move at all, lean on you to see if you move at all. It's a solid, solid stance done correctly. Unmovable. Well, that's what it should be, our stance in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. And the only way that happens is as we spend time in the Word, right? That we establish ourselves more in our stance. That we have ourselves comforted by the Word of God in our stance, no matter what persecutions come. Give me one more reference. Go to Colossians real quick before we make our way back to 1 Thessalonians. Why don't you go to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 21. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Says this, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Well, when could that happen? Well, that's the judgment seat of Christ. We talked about it last week. But it's a condition. The condition to being presented unblameable, the condition of being presented unreprovable in His sight, at the judgment seat of Christ, is what it says in verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If we want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and be unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God, then we need to continue in the faith and not be moved away. And the only way that happens, to have a solid stance, to be unmovable, is as we continue to spend time in the Word, so that we are established, so that we are comforted in the things that we go through. And so we can turn around and not just hog it and keep it to ourselves, but to be able to share it with others. It's important. Why? Again, last time going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. We've already seen in chapter 2 the afflictions that the Thessalonians are going through. Serious stuff. But he says, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I don't know when that is, but I got to believe that is coming quite quickly. I believe we're at the end of this thing as far as our dispensation of grace and the rapture of the church happening, and then you know, all what's going to take place as far as the Antichrist and the one world government and all the other good stuff is going to happen. I mean, I think we're at the end of this thing. Just before coming to church today and just listening to some news and some of the results of the G7 meeting that took place over there in Europe, one of the things that they are talked about, I guess, is having a global tax for corporations. And it's just one more step, one more thing That's the whole world coming together, one world economy. And it's so that, you know, different companies can go to this country and escape being taxed. Every country will have the same tax. 15% was laid out. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I can't do anything about it, nor am I preaching against it. My point is that we see every day that this world is fastly coming together as one against God. And the longer we are here, I think we'll see more and more the eroding of our First Amendment rights and probably other rights. Our First Amendment right to assemble. Speak the truth of the Word of God. People don't want to hear this anymore because it's against their lifestyle. It's against what they want to do. They don't have to have anything to do with God. But does that change the commission that God has given us? Preach the Word. It's an in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Hey, you know what? Establish people in their faith. Comfort them. Because I'm saying this because, yeah, we are going to go through afflictions. I mentioned this reference last week, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That's a promise. You living godly, godlike in this world? No, you're going to go through some persecution. Just like it says in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. What? For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. That's an appointment that we have. Now, honestly, you know, we got to go to the doctor for various reasons or whatever. Like, you know, Trish and myself have been going to the doctor a lot these last point as far as our knees are concerned and all that sort of thing. But it's an appointment that we make, right? It's not like the orthopedic calls us up and says, hey, you got an appointment, show up. And don't forget your copay. Alright? We got an issue, so we call them and set up an appointment. But as soon as we accepted Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, guess what God said? You got an appointment. I'm going to appoint, and it's not just one appointment. Alright? I'm appointing you that you're going to go through some suffering. Now, what kind of God is that? Think about it. Jesus Christ, after his baptism by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, God led his son into the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights, without food, without water, to be tempted of the devil. If God led the Lord through that, you think we're going to escape it? I've said so many times, you know, it doesn't sound like, well, the world's idea of God. If God is God and all loving and everything like that, he would never send us through anything. Everything would be hunky-dory fine, blah, 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 blah. You know when you really learn something and when you're going through it? You know when you really learn where you're at in your walk and relationship with the Lord and how much you trust him? It's when you're going through it. Not when everything is going fine. Not when everything is going rosy. It's when you're going through it. And if you're living for Christ, you're not going to have to try to find the suffering. The suffering will come to you. It's been appointed, and God is in control of that. And what you need to understand is, and that's why it's so important that we have the establishment in our faith, the comfort in our faith, all right, through the Word of God. It's so important to have that because we are appointed unto afflictions. And God has His reasons and His purpose and His plan behind all those things. And I don't have time to talk about, you know, some of the stories and some of the things in our lives I've laid out to you in preaching. I don't have time, nor is it what I want to do today. But I can tell you the times of afflictions and trials that we have been through that God has used in our lives to grow us and to be able to help somebody else out. You ever stop to think that the reason that you're going through affliction is not necessarily for you? It's so that you can minister to somebody else that's going to go through that? Themselves. You ever stop to think about that? Well, I'm like, God, what was me? Why are you doing this to me? I got my reasons. How much have we learned from Job? What if Job would have never been through and God allowed him to go through everything that we would not have a book of Job? And think about how much, when we study the book of Job, how much we learned from that. Think about how much people can learn from your life. And seeing you go through trials and tribulations and that you're unmovable. Why do you have a peace? Why are you comforted? Why are you so strong in your faith? I'm strong because I allow the Lord to teach me and comfort me and establish me through it all. It's that song Andre Crouch. Through it all. Not around it all. Over it all. Underneath it all. Through it all. That's when you grow. That's when you learn. One more reference and we'll be done. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 1 and pick it up in verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Only let your conversation, remember that's your lifestyle, not just what you say, but what you do, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, as you go through these trials and tribulations and everything, don't be terrified by the adversaries, the ones that are the human source of the afflictions that maybe you're going through, because they know that it's destruction for them if they don't get saved, but it's salvation for us. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now that's what we talked about. The result of suffering for Christ is being able to be glorified with Him throughout all eternity, to rule and reign with Him. But notice in verse 29, it is given unto us. It's about the same thing as we're seeing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. It's been appointed unto you to go through these afflictions. Well, it's been given unto you for us to go through these things. Get lucky gift. Thanks, God. Thank you for my birthday gift. I turned spiritually 33 years old. Alright? I like that better than the 52 physically. I'm 33 years old spiritually. Thank you, God, for my birthday gift to allow me to go through some suffering, to have this appointment that you've given me. It's given unto us, not to believe, but also to suffer. Now, I know this flies dead in the face of prosperity Christianity. You're a child of the King. Everything should go well. You're a believer in Christ, that nothing bad should happen. I mean, that's why, you know, atheists. Well, if God is God, why would He allow these terrible things to happen? Look, I will never have a God, serve a God like that. That's the atheist argument. And a lot of times there's Christians that give up because it's like, man, I'm a Christian. How come I'm going through these things? It's right here in the Word of God, and there's a reason. It's not easy. It's not. But it's not like one of those things that you have to do it on your own. God will never put you through something that He's not equipped you to be able to handle. He is faithful and He'll provide a way of escape. He's given us everything that we need to be established in our faith and to be comforted in our faith. It's all right here. It's all right here. He will lead us and guide us and grow us through it and make us stronger for Him to get the ultimate glory out of our life. What it comes down to, are we willing to obey what the Word of God says? We need this, and the people in your life need this. And the people in your life are not going to hear it. They're not going to see it unless we decide that we're going to apply the Word of God to our life. And as we have those open doors and opportunities in our conversations with others, to be willing to share what the Word of God says. This is what the Lord has shown me through my trials and tribulations. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for, again, your Word. And this book, again, 1 Thessalonians, it's just such the right time for for this book. Every message, every verse, every word, we need it. We need to hold on to it. We need to meditate on it. To apply it to our lives. To be ready to share it. Because not only do we need this today, there are people in our lives that need this. There are people going through real struggles. Real pain, real heartache. They need truth. They need to see a living example of what it is to be a biblical Christian. Not a world idea of Christian. Not a religion. Not something that's man-made and man's commandments. People need to see the truth, the reality of your word. They need to hear the truth and the reality of your word. And Lord, help us to be vessels of honor that you can use us for that very reason. And we understand there's going to be people that are never going to want to hear it, want to turn away their ears from the truth and listen to fables and stories. We see that. We see that in our world so much. We've seen it over the last year. A lot of things is what we cannot trust. But Lord, you and your word, we can. Because you never let us down and there's no error in your word. People need to see true biblical Christianity, and I pray that they'd be able to see it in us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.